Welcome to the Health Tips Podcast. The Health Tips Podcast is all about fitting in fitness in a busy schedule. Dr. Mukesh Batra has had a storytale life. A fourth generation homeopath, he started with a very small clinic in Mumbai and is today the founder of Dr. Batra's Positive Health Clinic with hundreds of clinics around the world. The doctor, the entrepreneur, the philanthropist. I present to you the first part of my conversation with the king of homeopathy, Dr. Mukesh Batra. So let's start by asking you, how did homeopathy pick you rather than you pick homeopathy?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. I'm really delighted to be here and I'm very happy to talk to you and to your listeners. Let me say that I don't think that homeopathy selected me or I selected homeopathy because I was born into homeopathy. My father was a homeopath and my son is a homeopath. So I actually have three generations of homeopathy in my family. And we have 120 years of homeopathic practice in the family. And I'm happy to let you know that we actually treat four generations of patients. So if your grandfather came to me, so did your father, so did you, and so did your kids. And that's really something which is so exciting as doctors for us to experience. And to actually be the health advisors and guide, for four generations is something which, is something which is really very special.
So tell me some instances with your father which you remember, like your first memories of homeopathy when you heard this word homeopathy, what was your images with him?
Well, so my father was, he practiced homeopathy for many years, but he was also an academician. He was the principal of the Homeopathy College in Lucknow, and that's where I was born. And then he moved to Mumbai, and then he became the principal of the Mumbai College. So together with academics, he also had a good practice in the evening, like a part practice that he was allowed. And we all grew up actually, if I may say, like actually doing the dirty work for homeopathy. So we had to make medicines, we had to make the purikas. That time there used to be purikas, we had to tie those purikas. And if we had to abuse each other, we used to say, you're a sulfur patient because you're dirty. So we actually grew up with that kind of, atmosphere, recognizing names and recognizing materia medica, making medicines. So we actually knew everything. We also interacted with the patients because a lot of my father's practice was as part of the house. This is what happened at that time. At that time homeopaths had, dukan outside and and ghar inside, like they say, andar makan or bahar dukan. Mm, right. So that's really what used to happen at that time. So what was also interesting was that a lot of my father's patients also interacted with me. So I also got to know patient handling, how much they loved and respected him. So it was a fabulous experience. And because you grew into an atmosphere of homeopathy. And what is very important was, again, just to let you know, a very interesting aspect of my life is that my mother was an allopathic doctor.
Oh.
And she was one of the first, very first few doctors in India from Lady Harding. And so she was very well educated. And of course, she did general practice to start with. And then she was a deputy director of health services in UP. So I remember when I was 5 years old, I used to travel in a jeep to every village in UP. And I've actually seen the health condition in UP very, very closely. And that time, UP was undivided. So I've been to Terry Garhwal, I've been to, what is now Uttarakhand, Uttaranchal as well. So it was a huge experience for me to actually get into medicine on both sides, mm-hmm. from my mother's side and my father's side. Ultimately, my mother kind of retired and she kind of, I think, gave up the fight of homeopathy versus allopathy. And she actually then turned into practicing homeopathy herself.
Okay.
So she also then converted, once she left the government job and once she settled down, she actually then also started practicing homeopathy because she found great benefits from it. And she then devoted herself to charity for the rest of her life. So she, which is also where I get my charitable kind of insight into life, because you ultimately imbibe from your parents what you grow up as children. So my mother gave up all her practice and she actually then started working for Swami Chinmayananda. So she set up a diagnostic center for him in Chembur in Bombay. And she used to travel there and she was very passionate about it. And that's what she did for many, many years of her life. So that's really how I got, born into homeopathy. And I then got built into homeopathy because at that time, there were not many people taking homeopathy. So, today you may close admission at 97%. And it's probably 1% less and sometimes even 1% more than allopathy. So if allopathic college admission closes at, say, 96%, We have students in homeopathy who are even have 99% because they prefer to come to homeopathy rather than go to allopathy, But at that time, it was not like this. And today also, really, a lot of people are there because they want to become doctors. So a person who doesn't get admission at 97% and got 96% goes to homeopathy college. During that time, it was very different. During that time, interesting anecdote is that the trustee of the college used to come to my house and say, "Aap apne beto ko hamare ghar ke liye de do, hamare college ke liye de do, because we want good families, we want good people to take homeopathy." So that was how actually I got inducted or forced into homeopathy in that sense. Even though I was born into homeopathic thing, or I got lured into homeopathy. So it was a very easy option for me to take. And I just thought that since my father is a doctor and I'm getting admission so easily, why don't I just ride it? And that's the honest truth. Having said that, when I went into medicine, I then realized how difficult homeopathy is. I then realized that you have to do allopathy in the sense you've got to learn anatomy, physiology, gynec, surgery, do minor surgeries, conduct deliveries, do all of that. And plus you have to do homeopathic philosophy, organon, materia medica, homeopathic therapeutics. I mean, there's a lot more to be done. And in a 4.5-year course at that time, now it's 5.5-year course. That time was a 4.5-year course. So we actually had to, stay up whole night sometimes, hold hands to let a woman deliver a baby. I remember that I've conducted a taxi delivery. So, you have to rush. And sometimes, and whole day you have to study, in college with your teachers. And whole night you have to hold a lady's hand and hope that she delivered. And if she didn't deliver, you couldn't get that signed delivery. So you have to go back next day again. And by that time, somebody else has taken the delivery. She delivered anyway when you're not around. So you go back and hold somebody else's hand. Yeah. So that's how it was. So it was very exciting, very tough. Not as easy as people think. Not that whole impression of homeopathy, how people think of it to be, that you can read books and you can practice homeopathy. Professional homeopathy is very different. It's a very vast field. Today you have 5 years, 5.5 years of medical education with a professional, with a university-based college, associate college. And then you have 3 years of MD. And then we have a Dr. Bhatia's Academy, which after 15 years of practice and being an MD doctor, you can then do a one-year course in homeopathic dermatology, which is again, certified by the Mumbai University. So today it's like almost a 10-year thing for you to start a homeopathic practice. Well, earlier you could read a book and practice it. So I'm saying that's the difference that's happened over the years. And I think, I also felt, looking at and experiencing homeopathy, very closely. I saw my father's patients getting all right. I saw my mother's patients getting all right. And when I worked in the homeopathic hospital, I saw so many people getting all right with such amazing cures and with such difficult cures that I really got, so excited and so much into it. And my own example, I had, 28 warts on my face.
Wow.
On one day, and I was the general secretary of the college. And I had my college day coming and all the girls running after me. And can you imagine, I had some VIP coming as a guest before me. That was very important. And can you imagine me taking a mic and standing on stage with 28 warts on my face? And then one of my teachers told me that you take this medicine. And I said, wow, that's damn good, Thuja. And I took it. And after that, nothing happened. And I got another 10, 15 more. So and then I started proving the medicine. So I started getting dreams that I was falling off my bed, which was one symptom of that drug. And then I was just talking to my dad because by that time I was living in a hostel. And then he said, why don't you try this other medicine, Dalkamara? And I took it. And I was so surprised that within 1 week, when I was just washing my face, about 30, 40 watts came into my towel.
Wow.
No surgery, no nothing, no scar. Totally scarless face. So can you imagine if I had to do surgery, today I would have 30, 40 kind of pox marks on my face, And that's the magic of homeopathy that I experienced. So from the time I experienced that, because that time I was in my third year, by the time I experienced that, I actually went into a very deep study of homeopathy. I was living in a hostel. I actually started teaching people who were senior to me. And I then got picked up by the college because, I got known as, being good in homeopathy and, also with a great background. And therefore, when I passed out college, I got picked up as a lecturer with the college. And I was the first student ever to be offered a lecturer's job.
Wow.
Who just passed out, because all the lecturers were, 15, 20 years in practice. And I was offered a salary of 450 rupees a month. And I refused it because I wanted to do clinical work. And instead of that, I took up a charitable clinic and where I was an internee, where I got 150 rupees a month. So I started my career and my life in 1974. I passed on in 73 in a charitable clinic, getting 150 rupees a month. And from there, then I have grown and, with a lot of hard work and good luck, the rest, as they say, is history.
Wow, that's amazing story, and I think really spellbound. So tell me, like, you know, one of the things which we want to talk about in the health and fitness show is about people. And, you know, when people like you are successful, how do you keep yourself healthy and fit? What are the rules that you keep for yourself to stay healthy and fit?
It's actually very, very difficult, honestly. And I think one of the biggest challenges that I had was that, you know, I used to be a sports person. I played all kinds of games. I have, you know, won awards in fast cycling, slow cycling. I've been a state player in table tennis. I have, you know, represented my college in lots of activities, cricket, football, hockey. When I became a doctor, I suddenly stopped exercising. And that was the time when I actually put on weight. So when you start a sedentary lifestyle, especially if you move from a very active lifestyle to a sedentary lifestyle, it's a big challenge. So I would say I did have the challenge. Having said that, I think over the last 10 years, I've been very conscious of myself and my health. And I made sure that I take care of myself.
So what's a typical day which you would from morning till night, like when you get up, what do you do first thing and go on?
So, okay. And I'll still come back to your question on how I keep fit, because that's also important for people to know. And so my typical day really is, if I'm not on an aircraft, which happens very often, then of course I get up whenever the flight demands, which could be 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning. But a normal day when I'm in my city and at home, I normally would hit the gym by 7:30, and I would do between half an hour to 1 hour of cardio, and I would do it in a particular scientific manner. So I would do, at one speed for 3 days a week, and then I would do intensive training and then bring it down so that my heart pumps more and then slows down again. So I would do, at a particular speed, twice the speed for 1 minute, and at a slower speed for 2 minutes. And then I would do that 15 times. So that's my routine, which I've just started a little while ago. I have not done it for a long time. Before that, I had personal trainers coming. I've done yoga. I've done all this thing. But I'm not able to sustain it, honestly. Now, even with my traveling, I mean, you can see I'm wearing, walking shoes. So I make sure I walk. I make sure that I get up early even before my meetings, and make sure that I hit the gym. So I try not to break it. I try to do it 4 to 5 times. That's one. The second thing, which I believe is very important, is, of course, diet. We are what we eat. And Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathy, said that, every man's stomach is like his foot. So he actually propagated the concept of a specialized, individualized diet rather than a universal diet. So what suits you may not suit me. And therefore, I should understand that. So my diet really is, therefore, really comprised of a lot of organic food. It has either one egg. I'm a vegetarian, but I do have eggs. And I moved to vegetarianism 13 years ago, and that also was a big change in my life, health-wise. So an egg one day and a porridge the other day, with some potatoes. People think potatoes is fattening, but, that's a good thing to have a certain amount of carbohydrate as well. Maybe a small piece of goat's cheese, a very small piece of, cracker or biscuit or bread. So lunch, I mean, that's breakfast. Lunch presently is just a soup and some salad, or some, cream potatoes or something like that, mashed potatoes. And the biggest thing is that I have my dinner at 5:30. So that's the kind of Jain philosophy, if I may say so, wherein you allow your gut and your stomach. I mean, I actually believe that a lot of diseases are caused by the stomach. And every time your gut is not functioning well, it cannot absorb your food. So I followed that philosophy. With that, in the last 1 year, that's with organic, with the kind of things I'm doing, I've lost 17 kilos. In the last 1.5 years. It's a very gradual but continuous process. And I'm now very close to my ideal weight. So number one is half an hour to 1 hour of exercising 4 to 5 times a week is one advice that I'll give everybody on how to keep fit. The second, of course, is your diet. So if you can make sure that you have an early dinner and a light dinner, and everything else keeping the same. What I also do is my food is 1/3 acidic and 2/3 alkaline. So the body, if it is acidic, so when you have coffee, when you have alcohol, I don't drink anyway, and I'm, like I said, I'm a vegetarian, so, but meat and alcohol are acidic foods. And I used to have 2 cups of coffee in a day, which also now I've stopped. So, but you can have it sometimes. That's, it's not that you can't have it, but I chose not to have it and not to have any caffeine in my body and to detox totally. So whenever you eat, if you take one protein and you take 2 vegetables, that's the right kind of way to eat. Then your body becomes alkaline over a period of time. And that's how you then actually stay fit and you're always in your right, the right size, if I may say so. Similarly, I think what's also very important is that you don't eat at night because you allow your gut 12 hours. So like I say, you know, certain religions, they do roza. Now, they do it 1 month in a year. Other religions like, you know, Jainism, they do Paryushan, which again, they do 10 days or 15 days in a year. What I'm doing is every day, I'm having a 14 days fast because I have my dinner at 5:30 or 7:30 latest, and I have my breakfast at 7:30 in the morning.
Wow.
So I have a 12 hour to 14 hour where my gut does not work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't say I'm gutless, but it's the time when my gut is not totally active. It gets time to rest. So which is why then the digestion is good, the absorption is good, the fitness is good, the activity level is very high. So that's what I would recommend. The last thing I think which is very important is...
Thank you, Dr. Batra. That was such an amazing conversation. It's not over yet. To make sure you catch part two, follow us on Twitter at Health Tips Radio, on iTunes, or at tandurus.podomatic.com. And thank you, Atharva Marcom, India's leading public relations firm, for all the support. They have a simple tagline: we make you famous. Reach out to them at atharvamarcom@gmail.com or at +91 9901 742 544. If you like this, you can give us a 5-star review on iTunes. You can reach out to us by email at tandurust@gmail.com. That's tandarost@gmail.com. See you next time. Stay healthy, keep fit.